All right. Well, will you take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 119? We're going to do the whole chapter. Those of you who don't read Psalm 119 regularly, you'll be shocked when you get there. Yeah. Listen, you're not getting in at any restaurant at lunchtime on Father's Day anyway. I don't know what y'all are in a hurry for. Psalm 119, we're going to begin in verse 9, if you'll stand with me if you're able. Let's read together. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Thank you. Have a seat. Father, we thank you again for the time to be together. We ask now for your special blessing over the time of your word, and just let it penetrate our hearts deeply and cause us to be brought about to be different people. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I want to touch briefly, as I can here, on something. And what the psalmist does for us in Psalm 119, verses 9, starting in verse 9, is the psalmist asks a question that I believe that every Christian asks themselves if they live long enough. And it is, how do I begin to cleanse my ways? See, when I got saved, Jesus Christ cleansed me of all my sin. Past, present, future sins were taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. But Jesus also left me here. And he has allowed me to continue to live in a world tainted and affected by sin, and a body that has been tainted and affected by sin. And so guess what I still do? Sin. Now, most of y'all don't have this problem. This sermon won't apply to you. But for those of us like me who still sin, this will be helpful. And what I want you to see is the first thing that he asks is, how can someone cleanse their way? He's not talking about making yourself saved. He's talking about learning how to walk in the way that the Lord wants you to walk. How many of you think that you could use some encouragement and some help for how to walk the way that God wants you to walk in your life? That's all of us, isn't it? Because every single day, every single person that wakes up, they struggle back and forth with different things. Every Christian struggles daily with sin. And your sin might be a little bit different flavor than my sin, but it's still sin, and we all struggle. And so what I see here in the first thing is he says, how can it be that a person can cleanse their way? And so then he goes right straight into it, and he says, the first thing is you have got to take heed to God's word. And so when he's, if you've never read Psalm 119, it is just 176 verses about how God's word is just the most awesome thing that there is. And so it's just talking about the power of God's word and the instruction we get from God's word. And so when we look at verse 9, he says, I need some instruction on how to begin to walk with God the way that I should walk. And he says, well, the first thing you got to do is look at God's word and pay attention to what God's word says. How many of you have ever read something and didn't pay a lick of attention to what you just read? Absolutely. And I'm not just talking about the Bible. I'm talking about those speed limit signs y'all passed on your way to church this morning. You looked at them. They didn't make a bit of difference to you. But you know, this morning, what we were talking about, and we're talking about the Word of God, what I can see is so powerful in the Word of God is I'm asking the question, God, how can I begin to see a change in me in my daily walk with you? And God says, you're going to have to begin to pay attention to the things that I've said in my word. It's just this morning. We were talking about this in Sunday school. If you didn't attend Sunday school, you missed a great Sunday school lesson. We were talking about this morning some of the struggles that come with showing honor and respect to authorities over you. Anybody struggle with that? You know what, though? But if you know what the word says, and you have a struggle with obeying somebody or has authority over you or showing honor and respect to somebody over you, to take heed to that word is to begin to say, Lord, not only do I want to know that I should do that, but Lord, I want to live that out. See, taking heed is more than just knowing. How many of you know something that you do nothing about? I know lots of things that I don't do anything about them. And he's saying, no, you've got to, it's more than just knowing. You've got to begin to take heed according to God's word. But look what else he says. Look at the beginning of verse 10. He says, with my whole heart, I have sought you. Do you know? You want to know a way to see your ways changed, your life changed? You want to know how to begin to live out a little bit different life? You got to wholeheartedly begin to go after God. Wholeheartedly. How many of you have ever done something half-heartedly? Every time I think of half-hearted, I think of my kids saying sorry. I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about. But when you catch them in the middle of something, you say, now tell your sister you are sorry. And they turn, sorry. I mean, you can feel the passion in it, can't you? It's a half-hearted sorry at best. It doesn't mean anything. There's just a blanket obedience, but there's no true heart behind it. And so what the psalmist is warning us about is if we're going to follow God, it can't just be a let me lead down through the list of what to do and then let me try to live it out. No, it has to begin with saying, okay, my whole heart is going to be oriented towards God. Did you catch that though, what he did there? This whole chapter is about God's word, yet he focuses in on our whole heart being aimed at God. You see, when you get into the Word of God, when you dig into the Word of God, don't dig into the Word of God to make yourself a moralist. Don't dig in here to try to make yourself better than your neighbor so you can brag about it. Some of us struggle with that. Some of y'all don't care what anybody thinks about you. And everybody but Ronnie said amen. But some of us, when we get into thinking about rules and regulations, the reason certain people keep rules and regulations is because they want other people to look at them and think that person's better than most people. And that's not a wholehearted following of God. He says, I want you to go wholehearted after God. Now, how do you do that? How do you not get caught up in a legalistic way? It is because you want God and not just the rules. You want God and not the praise of man. See, when the psalmist is talking, he said, listen, I'm going wholehearted after God. That's important. Look at what he says. Let me not wander from your commandments. Do you know what I hear when I hear that part of that verse? I hear the same basic thing that I know to be true about myself. I want to wander away from what God wants to tell me to do. I do. If I am not constantly drawn to Him, I will begin to wander into my own way. I begin to say, I'm not going to walk in your way. I'm going to walk in my way. And listen, how many of you have ever experienced the dysfunction and displeasure of getting off on your own way for an extended period of time? I've done it, man. I'm telling you. And you feel, listen, when you first begin to do it, though, you feel liberated, right? You're finally like, yeah, I'm throwing the chains off, man. I can feel free, right, Mr. Billy? But then you get a little further down that road, though. And you know what happens? God begins to convict your soul. God says, that's not my way. And you say, I've wandered from your way. And the psalmist said, don't wander. Don't let me wander. But who does he say don't wander to? Does he say don't wander to his soul? No. He says, God, please don't let me wander. In other words, he understood something that we all need to recognize this morning. I'm going to wander from God's way if God don't intervene in my life. I'm not enough to keep me on the way that God has for me. You with me this morning? All right. Now, look at what else he says. He says, probably the most popular verse in this particular part of this passage, he says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let me give you a few things here. It's just big. Okay. He says, first off, he says, I have taken the word of God and I have hidden it or treasured it in my heart. Let me give you a few points about that. How many of you have a copy of God's word somewhere in your house? How many of you have one on your phone? How many of you got like 18 and you could go walk any 3 feet in your house and you could pick up a Bible? Right? You know what I'm saying? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about having this word in this right here. Okay? And I want you to know the reason why that's important. Because Satan is not going to wait to attack you till you're looking at a verse that will directly deal with the temptation that he's bringing against you. He's going to wait for you till you're 4 miles from the nearest Bible. And he's going to say, hey, doesn't that look nice? And if you don't have the word treasured in you, you have no arsenal of defense. What example did Jesus give us when he faced temptation? You remember that? 40 days and nights in the wilderness. And then he gets to the end of that, and Satan comes to tempt him, and Satan hits him with 3 temptations, and every time Jesus responds, it is written. Now, Jesus has power and authority over Satan. He could have said, listen, man, beat it. But you know why he didn't do that, I believe? Because I can't say, Satan, beat it. But I can say, he comes to me and says, hey, do this. And I can say, oh, but God's word says no. Oh, God's word says do this instead. And so Jesus gave us that example. But you know the thing about treasuring something is? You hide away and keep safe a treasure once you realize it's valuable. You know what I'm saying? Look, how many of you would go buy a safe and put one of these in it? You see that? You know what that is? That's a penny. How many of you would go buy a $15,000 safe, put that penny in it? It might be worth something one day. Probably not, but it might be. You wouldn't do that, because you look at that and you say, it's not that valuable. I'm not going to treasure that up. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Now, this is kind of hard to take, but just take your lumps, because that's what I had to do when I was preparing this message. So just, you take them too. The reason you and I don't spend time meditating on and memorizing the Word of God is simply it's not a valuable enough treasure to us to want to put it in our hearts and minds. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's true. And man, when you think about that, you're like, man, I don't like your sermon anymore. You just said something that made me feel bad. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to make you be honest with yourself. And to treasure God's Word is more than just read it occasionally. It's more than just talk about it occasionally. And it's certainly more than hearing some other person talk about it for 30 minutes a week. It's about beginning to love the Word of God and see it as valuable. And then when you do, you will find yourself beginning to say, hey, I need to commit that to memory. I need to chew on that more. You guys understand what I mean by chew on it more? I'm talking about when you breeze over a passage and something sticks out, don't just go, oh, yeah, that's nice. But I'm talking about you later, you're regurgitating that thing mentally. And you're just going, whew, man, that hit me hard today. That's good, that's good, that's good. All right, so that is it. You got to treasure it, hide it in the heart. Why? Because it's so valuable. What will result in that? The psalmist says that there is power over sin in the life of a Christian when you are treasuring the Word of God in your heart. You and I want to know how to have a victory over sin. It's got to begin with a seeking God with the whole heart and then treasuring His Word and knowing, listen, know that this Word has power over the temptation that you face. It does. Listen, I know the destruction and the just defeated feeling of just struggling with the same sin over and over and over again. If I understood this passage rightly, I would not be standing here 100 pounds overweight in front of you. Right? So what I'm telling you isn't something that I'm saying, I've got this down, and y'all little peons need to get straight with God and get this right. What I'm telling you is that every person in this room has an area in which they would like to have victory over sin. And the psalmist says the power is in treasuring God and God's Word and begin to hide it in the heart to begin to have an arsenal against that sin. Now look what else he says. He says that might not sin against. Look at verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. The Word of God, I remember this one time, this old preacher, he had preached a sermon, he had just brought the house down. He shook the corn all the way down to the cob. Man, the man brought the word of God. And this lost guy from the back of the congregation stormed up to the front at the end of the service, and he walked up to me and said, "Preacher, I want you to know that that Bible's full of junk. You're full of junk. And I don't believe none of this." And he said, "Sir, what do you base that on?" He said, "I've read the Bible cover to cover. And it never said one thing to me." Man thought for a second, looked back at him. He said, "You're reading somebody else's mail. That's not written to you in your state." And you know why? Because without the Holy Spirit of God who comes into a Christian when they get saved, this word is nothing. It seems powerless. It's got all the power, but we're just too dull to even feel all the power. And when the Holy Spirit of God comes into you, the Word washes over you, and God's Spirit marries with the Word, and He begins to rattle and shake some areas of your life. How many of you have lived in a sin for a long period of time till one day God said, "You know, that ain't never been right"? Did you know that it was wrong your whole life when you were doing it? It was. You didn't know it, but it was. And when God wakes you up to it, that's the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. All right, so teach me your statutes. Well, that's right. And sometimes we knew and we just were too hard-headed to care. And God will shake that out of us too, won't He? "With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth." He says, listen. Notice all along, it's all been about God's Word, what God's going to do. And now He says, there's some things that I'm going to do now that I know about God's Word. He says, one of the things I'm going to do is He's going to declare the judgments of God. Do you know that God is a judge? And do you know that He is a just judge? Do you know what it means to be a just judge? It means you don't ever get a case wrong. And He says, "God, I'm going to declare your judgments." He goes on, He says, "I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches." That's a big deal. Because you know there are some things that God says to me about me that I don't overly rejoice about because they are not overly humanly favorable. You catching my drift? Sometimes God says stuff to me and I go, "You know what, Dad, I'm pretty bad. I'm a sorry sinner." But you know what? If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit of God's in you, and this true word begins to wash over you, you know you even begin to rejoice and the understanding of how fallen you really are. You begin to rejoice in it. You know why? Because there's several things about that. One, you'll be reminded that the God who saved you as the most sinful sinner that you can possibly be. That's where He saved you. God's never been surprised at how sinful you are. Let that thought wash over you the rest of the day. And He saved you just like you are. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is this. Listen, when you think about this, okay, God, you love me so much that you won't leave me doing things that are bad for me and hurt other people around me and that offend Him. God loves you that way. Isn't that incredible to think of? You ever been around somebody who loves you too much to let you keep on slapping yourself in the face? Y'all act like you don't know what I'm talking about. I seen some of y'all walking around like this, and it ain't hot. You ain't fanning. All right. As much as in all riches, I want to point out something here. Listen, if I said to you guys, listen, one of the things I want you to take away from today is I want you to go home and memorize some scripture. Some of you would say that's what our kids Awana program is for. And once you graduated out of Awana, you're done with memorizing scripture. And then I would say, no. And you would say, okay, I can't really argue with you there. And then you would give me this line, undoubtedly. You would say to me, "I just can't do it anymore. Young minds are like sponges. And I am like a rock. I can't soak up anything else." What I would say to you is this. If I told everybody in this room that Ronnie Griffin's going to give everybody in this room that memorizes a verse $1,000 next week, you know how many verses would be memorized in here? I can promise you this, it ain't enough to exhaust Ronnie's money, but it would be a lot. It would be a lot of verses. And he's saying right here, listen, he's saying it's more valuable than all the riches. And so what I'm telling you is, when I challenge you at the end of the service, to go home and start memorizing some scripture? If it's a valuable enough treasure to you, no matter how hard it is for you, you're going to go home and you're going to start plowing through trying to memorize some scripture. Because you're going to say, hey, this is important. I need to step up. I need to do this. Okay. 15, I will meditate on your precepts and I will contemplate your ways. You know what it means to meditate? That's right. It does not mean empty your mind. It means fill your mind with something and just focus on it. So, you know, the mind is like a muscle. You don't ever flex it. It gets kind of weak. And it's hard to get something locked in your mind and say, I'm gonna really focus in on that thing. You know, I mean, how many of you can just hold, everybody in here just hold one hand above your head? Okay, just do this for just a second. All right, let's just leave those there. They're not heavy. Just leave them there for a minute, right? Keep going. I want you to go the rest of the service. Just hold your hand right above your head. How many of you going to be able to make it? I got another 45-minute sermon left to go. Come on now. How many of you going to make it? Look, you can put your hands down. Listen, we struggle with that. You know what? Our hands and our arms are not that heavy. But you know what? I can tell you this. If you don't work that muscle enough, in just a few minutes, your hand alone, Chris, you're going to give in. You're going to be embarrassed, man. Put your hand down. you're going to give in eventually under that little bit of weight. And what I'm trying to tell you is what he's talking about here is he's saying, listen, I'm meditating on, I'm contemplating the ways of God. He's saying, what I'm trying to tell you is I'm flexing my mental muscle, trying to hone in on what God has to say to me. That means it's going to be like work. How many of you have ever worked out a day in your life? When you get to working out, it's hard, isn't it? But listen, the more you work out, what happens? You get a little bit more strength. You're able to accomplish a little bit more. And mentally, it's going to be the same thing. As you begin to let the Lord work in your mind, as you begin to contemplate what He's saying to you, contemplate what He's showing you, you're going to see a victory there. You're going to see some growth there. And it's going to be a beautiful thing. Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. Do you know what it means to delight? It means, man, as you look at this. How many of you have ever eaten Brussels sprouts? They all right. I could take them or leave them. If all the Brussels sprouts on the planet blew up today, I would not shed a tear. Not a single one. But I'm going to tell you what. If all the hamburgers in the earth were wiped off the face of the earth, I would shed a lot of tears. My heart would be massively broken. I love a hamburger. I delight when I eat a hamburger. I don't delight. I eat Brussels sprouts because Aaron says I have to eat at least two because she puts them on my plate. But anyway, but I want you to know, y'all laughing because it's true. But anyway, but listen, there's a difference in doing and delighting. And sometimes when you come to God's Word, all you can muster is doing. And you say, okay, I'm just doing. I'm not going to do it. Don't do that. Keep doing until you begin to delight. You say, well, how long will that take? I don't know. How sinful are you? You keep pressing on and keep digging in and keep treasuring. And what you're going to find is when you study God's Word, you're going to be like, oh, and I love this, man. I married up 7,000 levels, okay? And I'll come home sometimes, and Erin is just like, she is as energetic as Risa, and she is just bouncing all over the walls. And I'm like, hey, baby, you're not usually that happy to see me. What's going on? Just kidding. And she says, you know, I've got to tell you about this amazing thing that I came across in my Bible study. And she'll sit me down and we'll go Genesis to Revelation and she'll have tied this theme together all the way through. And I'm like, man, that is awesome. But what's happening right there is she is delighting in what she's studying. She's getting great joy from being in the Word of God and meditating on it, chewing on it, and memorizing it. So that's what he's talking about there. Delight myself in what you have said. Delight in the law. Delight in the Proverbs. Delight in the Psalms. Delight in the prophets. Delight in the gospel. Delight in all the epistles. Delight in them. Now, I will not forget your word. This is a big deal, isn't it? How many times have you been told something and forgotten it? Every time I go to the grocery store. Told something and you forget it. That's right. Write a list. I'll forget where I left it. But you know, when I read this word, God will challenge me about something. But listen to me. If I don't ever meditate on it and chew on it and think on it, I won't remember it. I will not. If all you get out of the Word of God is me mentioning a few verses for 35 minutes on a Sunday morning, you're not going to remember it because you have no investment in it. And I'm calling on you today. Here's what I want to do for invitation. We're going to do it a little differently. If you have a bulletin, you notice something maybe a little different. Flip to the back of your bulletin if you have one. Will you put John 3:1 up there? I'm going to challenge you as a church to begin memorizing John chapter 3. Anybody ever heard of John chapter 3 before? I gave you a cheat chapter. You already know at least one verse. Some of you in different languages. John 3:16. Now, I'm going to read through it, and I'm going to read it off the screen. So when I get to the end of the verse, if you'll switch it, Matthew, that'd be great. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Here's what I want you to do. From the littlest one to the oldest one in this room, I'm going to challenge you to make just those first three verses of John chapter 3. Chew on them all this week. I want you to try to memorize those three verses. If three is too many, get one. Get two if you can. If you can get all three, great. Now, listen, some people inevitably, this is what happens all the time. People say, "Well, you know, some people just make a show out of it." So what? So what? You know what? Some people it's easy for. We got one of our daughters named Alexis. She memorizes the phone book and it comes easy to her. It's just not hard for her. When she was, before she could talk, she could say the whole 23rd Psalm. You figure that out when you get home. But listen, for some of us it's harder. And if it's harder, fight harder. But I'm going to challenge you to do this. Now what I want to do is I want to close out this time together. I want you to look around this congregation. Everybody look around the congregation and say, "Hey, how are you? Nice to see you." All right. Okay. Now listen. There's somebody in this room that you can go to and you can say, "Hey, I want, if you're willing, I want you to challenge me through this week, make sure I'm actually doing this." Because as I say this in this room, we're all like, "Yes, I will do that." And Monday, you're like, "I'm going to get up an extra half hour early before work, and I'm going to memorize John chapter 3, verse 1. And the alarm goes off, and you slap the clock around the room, and you say, "What in the world is that thing going off early for?" See, remember, you're not supposed to forget. Y'all forgot already. What I want you to do is find somebody in this room that can be an encouragement and a challenge to you to do this. Pair up with them. Pray with them. That you would begin to treasure God's word. If you have any concerns, if you have some questions for me, I'll be up here at the front as you guys just kind of mingle around the congregation and encourage one another. If you have any questions about having Christ as a Savior, if you came in here today, you say, "Listen, God brought me here, but I'm not truly saved, and I need to know how to be saved," I'll be up here at the front. I would love, love, love to talk to you about how you can be saved. If you're a Christian who's just greatly struggling under the weight of a sin, and you say, "I need somebody to pray with me that I'll begin to value God's word over that sin," I'll be glad to pray with you. And I get others to hear. You can grab somebody in the congregation. But right now, I just want to encourage you. Just get up and find somebody in this room that could encourage you to begin to do this. And when you're done, you're dismissed. So just take all the time in the world.